Crash Course Live is presented by Smash It Demolition Derby
and the 2016 Basher Cast.
Demo Derby Masters.
Winter Slam 2016. Ultimate Derby and Blizzard Bash in Capital City Carnage.
Sciopa Racing and SciopaRacing.com.
Reckless Abandon Derby Apparel at RecklessAbandonGear.com. And Derby Inc. Magazine. Live it, breathe it, be it, Derby Inc. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good afternoon, good evening, welcome to episode number 169. Once again, making it very risky to open the microphones to start the show.
We're talking about something important.
I know, but we don't know how public that is. Oh. Sometimes when Ben comes back from shows, he's got all sorts of great information that nobody's supposed to know about.
Oh, it's pretty public because he said it right on the live stream in Florida.
Did he?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
Gotcha. Casey Smith going to be joining us here momentarily on episode number 169, and then we'll be catching up with Johnny Gullo, talking with Jim Olin from Finger Lakes Speed World. At the end of the night, big news over the weekend, J.C. Molly's coming away with the win in the team derby down there, the first ever team derby, the Southern Nationals shootout in Brooksville, Florida. Josh and Ben, fresh off the flight home, returning here. I know you guys had a great time down there. Overall, you know, your impressions of Florida and what the place was like.
Oh, I mean, it was the fairgrounds. I keep forgetting the name of it, but it's Hernando County Fairgrounds.
Yes. You said it at the end of the show.
Yeah.
You nailed the close.
Yeah.
You had it then.
Yeah. But, no, a great facility. I mean, it has a lot of potential. I mean, we talked about it on the show a lot down there. And they're very anxious to accommodate, you know, a larger show. It could easily do it. There's like 40 acres plus of real estate there they could play with for
in terms of
parking
area.
And everything else. Yeah. And the track, they actually made the track smaller for that show. So the track could potentially be like 80 feet longer, they were saying. So they could add more stands. They have access to more grandstands. So potentially it could be a humongous show and a great facility to be at. You can't beat the weather.
No.
In February, I mean, 70-some degrees. I mean, there's a little rain, but, I mean, that didn't seem to bother anything.
$1,100 raised for that gentleman that was in the car accident.
Yep. Testins. I think it was Testins. That was a good thing. They raised some good money for that. The little girl that came down with Mad Mike's group, that she did a triple header. She won the Power Wheels. She won a raffle to win a Power Wheels, and then she won something else. She won like three things.
Jeez.
That's cool.
Good night.
And as I said, she's starting a trend for your camp, Mad Mike. Don't jinx me, he said. Don't jinx me. But then he was down there. That was the 48th run on his Redline motor.
And cracked block and he won it.
Yep. So overall, great event, great time. Everybody had a good time that I know of. The Smiths came down there with them Vicks. Them Vicks were nasty, and they sounded nasty.
Right.
But they definitely put some hard iron together. And,
Did Ron McClung end up getting longest toe, seeing as how Johnny and Gumby flew?
I think he probably would have. He told me he bought that truck like 3 weeks ago, less than a month.
Yeah,
he's had that truck, and he had to do an oil change there when he got there, and he's got 12,000 miles on it.
Well, on his way.
Insane.
And so he was pretty excited. He wanted to get junk that car down there so he could find a nice clean one to haul back with him. And he did a super cool thing. He gave out all Matchbox Demolition Derby cars to all the Power Wheels kids.
Nice,
cool.
And and he's a super cool guy. We had fun with him.
He was out cruising the junkyards when he was down there. He
was cruising junkyards. He was hitting all the attractions. He was telling us about some go-kart track that was local that goes like 10 stories up in the air and then comes back down. So he was pretty excited about that.
And
Jason Sauer was there tagging stuff up. And
Had to remind Ron that they don't derby go-karts.
But
be surprised what happens down there on go-karts.
But, yeah, Johnny flew in. Troy Tagg flew in. you know, the Sciopas were there. Mark
I seen
and
a
Steve.
Picture. Jimmy Johnson was there too. Wasn't
yeah, yeah. Uncle Jimmy showed up, and he was a character as always.
Hard
you know?
To believe.
And yeah. I mean, it was
what
real.
Knowledge did he bestow on you?
Didn't really actually. Did I felt no. bad because I didn't really get to. We didn't get to talk to Jimmy that much. When we got there, we were getting stuff. You know, trying to get stuff set up and. Ran into a couple hurdles there because there was more people in the booth than it was supposed to be. So we
Ben started throwing people out.
No. Josh. I walked away. I counted to 10 and walked away.
The frantic phone call that I got when I was down in Dundee from Josh made
me unsettled,
but everything was manageable.
Yeah, everything was manageable. It's just when we got trained. Here, it was just something that wasn't included in the training seminar. So we were like, well, we better call Chris and figure out what was
what
up.
Wasn't, what do you mean?
When he wanted to start pulling wires and going through the PA system and everything else. We're like, he started messing with all these, everything. I'm like, nope, time out. Don't touch nothing. This is where we run it. Well, that you can't run it there. Time out.
That's what I was
I know.
Telling
I, he didn't even want it. Gave us his resume. Very knowledgeable guy. Very nice guy. Don't get me wrong. People don't, please don't take this the wrong way. In the end, you know, everybody was laughing, have a good time. And basically he was pretty impressed on what the equipment gets put through and how it still works. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, just so you know, Ben, I didn't know you were going to be going through that PA system. Otherwise, I definitely
well, we didn't know. Well, we didn't.
I mean, I got that phone call, and I told Josh that I just gave him one four-letter word. That was it. That's all I had.
Yep. So, basically, it all worked out good, and, you know, and Josh and I kind of stressed a little bit. We're like, boy, you know.
Show the radio guys how to do it over there.
We stressed a little bit. We're like, man, now we got to kind of mentally, because we were preparing ourselves, you know, to keep the people at home busy. And then we're like, well, shit, now we got it. We got sponsor spots to run and this and that. And
welcome to our world, huh, Chris?
So we're like, all right. I looked at Josh. We're like, we'll do this. We're going to do this. Well, then they had a DJ that came up. Now, next thing you know, here comes a local radio guy. He's like, yeah, I'm supposed to be talking in between. And that's when I shut it down. I says, once we push this screen right here, push that button, I says, only people talking are him and I.
Nice.
Oh, okay. And
I like that.
Afterwards, the guy pretty much went to the radio station guy. He's like, that's how you're supposed to do these events. And they were pretty happy because I guess we plugged all the sponsors and the advertisers more than the radio station normally does that they have do it. So
with live reads that they hadn't rehearsed.
You know what
it was great.
Though, too? Yeah.
They were essays. Josh took a look at it and said, sir, there's no effing way I'm going to read this whole thing. And so we kind of ad-libbed it a little bit. I read the one full thing at first and went through it the first time. Then after that, I just kind of shook my head and says, no, we're going to shorten that a little bit.
Well, you know what it is, too, with sponsors? I know, like me personally, and I think you guys all feel the same way, is if, you know, a business comes out and sponsors a derby, you feel like
you have to go
yeah, the extra mile because unfortunately, it's hard to get sponsorship for derbies.
Especially when they stand there and tell you. Remember
I wasn't there for that, but you were pretty excited when you told me about it.
I mean, there was actually sponsors, a main sponsor that actually dropped out from what I understand, and then this other sponsor, the A-Plus Roofing, stepped up.
Cool.
And was the head sponsor, and they had the Rotary there, and they had the, you know, they had the Peanut Shack there, and
cool.
And they Papa John's is there. Papa John's is the big one.
Papa John's is the big one.
I had Josh directing traffic out to the Midway to get Papa John's pizzas.
Yep. He was dropping. He says, you could get a whole pizza and bring it back to your seat.
And it's only like $5.
Yeah, it was very cheap.
We'll be doing commercials with Peyton Manning next year for Papa John's.
Yeah, what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Casey Smith might be doing some commercials too because he's going to be well-traveled this year. Casey's joining us on the hotline. He came away with the Mad Dog Award down there in Brooksville. He and his boy, as we heard reference to a minute ago when Ben was recapping the action down there, those brown Vicks were something to behold. And you guys drove the wheels off him, Casey. Nice work.
Yeah, I can hear Ben real well. I have a little trouble hearing you, Chris. But, yeah, we went down there. we were volunteered by Jason Sowers to attend this show. You know, probably about 4.5 weeks ago or something like that, Jason was down here with Jason, you know, at the J.C. Molly's Motorsports compound, and, you know, having a good time. He was parading around that, you know, Ohio State car that he painted in Miami and that, and, which was, I guess, probably Siopas, but
yep.
He come back and he said, hey, there's this great thing going on in Florida, and you guys got to go because I told him you'd come. And I said, well, okay, you know. So, but anyway, long story short, this national event, it was a lot of fun. And, you know, what better place to go in the middle of February from where we're from than Florida? Okay, it was like first time in 24 plus years. My wife says, well, are you going to like build cars if we go to Florida or what? You know, and to build cars in January or February in our neck of the woods, there's a lot entailed in that. I mean, you guys being from New York, you can relate. You know, we got to drag them out from out back in the snow, get them in, get them thawed out, et cetera, you know. But we built these two cars in about 4 weeks, and we come down, and, you know, like you said with Mike DeFrisci having 40-something runs on his red line, this is the time of year we're supposed to be getting our stuff ready for a regular season, not really stretching it out any farther. So, you know, we just said, you know what, let's go have some good times. Let's enjoy Florida. Let's try to help develop this show. They're really trying to do a great thing here. And, you know, and I can tell you it was a successful show, and this is how I know, because at the end of the evening, we had so many fans come out of the stands and talk to me and my son and say, thank you guys for coming down and participating and putting on a show, because it was absolutely fabulous. So
that's great.
That itself was worth the 1,200-mile trip and everything else we went through. The Florida fans that attended this show, all the work that the J.C. Molly shop did behind the scenes, you know, to get these other cars out there for the other teams, you know, to get the everybody we met, you know, Johnny Gallo, Troy Dagg, I met Jimmy Johnson for the first time in Gumby. I mean, for them guys to come out here, you know, to take time out and participate, these guys really did a huge effort behind the scenes to make this a big deal. And I know for a fact they're really working on next year already.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, I heard that they've already got some excavator crews lined up to get cars off faster.
The one guy we were talking to was in charge guy at that night. He pretty much came up and gave us a big thumbs up afterwards and says we're already planning on another one.
Are we talking February or are we talking November?
I mean, obviously, you know, the details will come out as the year unfolds, but I mean, honestly, it was, you know, to come down here, and anybody who's in this sport that's ever left their hometown ranch to go an extended distance to run a show, you know, there's a lot of things that come into play. You got your logistics, number one, how are we getting our stuff there? What do we got to take with us? What kind of reception are we going to get? You know, there's no, you know, the old saying, there's nothing like having home field advantage.
Right.
We had one of the best receptions ever coming in from out of town, and everybody was there to welcome us, enjoy our run, you know, win or lose, and come down and congratulate us and thank us at the end. So we were happy with that, you know. And getting the Mad Dog Award, we didn't go all that far just to hand it over to somebody. I mean, we knew obviously there'd be a little bit of allegiance and maybe, you know, maybe somewhat of a stack deck going in there, but we brought the iron to compete with it. We were expecting to have a battle on our hands, and we didn't. And you know, congratulations to the winners, and congratulations to everybody that come out, you know, including like Steven Sickles from PA come down with compact. Serena Brandt flew in. Her and John, she rented a car locally. So overall, it was a really neat mix of things to go on and, you know, and learn a little bit more about the stuff out west and the big things that they got coming in Utah. It's looking like, I don't know how we can't go out and at least check it out or participate or compete.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, you have to do that.
If your wife loves Florida, she'll definitely love Utah.
And it's a dry heat, so you'll be fine.
Yeah. And you'll love them tracks out there. You'll definitely feel right at home.
But I mean, in general, I mean, I think you'll see this show, you know, for next year. I think these guys will probably have a really good structure that comes out. You'll see a good format for classes.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see some really detailed outlines for rules. I'm sure they'll have a top-notch staff here. You know, a lot of people can't appreciate what goes into making an event, but I can because, you know, our logo, you guys seen our SMW logo, Smith mm-hmm. Metalworks, we build. That saying, we build cars, but we're all about building the sport in whatever aspect it might be, you know, whether it be, you know, building a rear end for our stuff. I mean, we build pretty much all our own stuff, but, you know, we're helping a kid build a car for the first time. But we really like seeing people build the sport, no matter where you're from or what region you're in. Maybe it's not a strong region. I mean, we take for granted our sport up north because it's a common thing. Down here, we are at the bottom row of growing the sport forward. So, mm-hmm. when we choose to participate in it, I think we all got a responsibility to take it in the right direction. And it's going to take some people from out of the area to come down here and help cultivate that.
Absolutely.
Oh, definitely.
A huge out-of-state presence. You know, we mentioned a bunch of the names. Troy Tagg from California, mm-hmm. Mike DeFrisia from Pennsylvania, you guys from Pennsylvania. I mean, really, a huge population from Pennsylvania. When you look at the Sciopas and Steve and John and Serena.
Well, that's kind of it. You know, like I ran into Steve here a while back. Actually, it was at Jason Sauer's art gallery, you know, at Most Wanted Fine Art. And I told Steve, I said, I can't remember if we've ever actually had the chance to trade paint yet. And, you know, it was kind of funny because I'm like, holy cow, I can't believe I actually had to drive 1,200 miles to actually trade punches with Steve. You know, and at the driver's meeting, you know, when Chance was drawing our pill or whatever for the heat, Steve kept telling Chance, don't you pull our name, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was fun. You know, unfortunately, I think Steve had a little bit of an issue going on with his car. He didn't make it out in the feature, but.
Maybe
you know, there'll be another derby somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he blew the rear end on it.
And, you know, I hate seeing that because if I'm going to lose or win, I'd rather be on the track, not in the pits to somebody, right. You know, and I know he's a great competitor, and I'm sure that was a little disappointing to him, but mm-hmm. I'm sure we'll get a chance to try that out again sometime. So, but yeah, the Mad Dog Award, that to me, that's as good as anything you can win, you know, beside the money, because apparently we had the hammers down and we were making ourselves noticed.
Oh, that was 100% well deserved, and you definitely deserve that, hands down.
Because I know today I had a couple messages on Facebook, and people were kind of like, "Hey, what's that? What do you guys got for an engines?" You know, and, surprisingly, I mean, we come from an area with some great engine builders, like, you know, Brett Johnson at Redline and mm-hmm. several other people. But them are our engines. We built them in-house. You know, I got a 406 full roller that, honestly, it's quite tired, and I was fully expecting to leave most of it on that track.
So you gonna ask him about the builds at all, or gonna let that one go?
What's that?
That answers that.
What's that?
He already knows everything. He's gonna ask now. He's good.
Yeah.
I was just impressed with the builds, Casey. That's all.
Yeah, he.
The motor.
What's that?
I didn't hear you there. You
no, I was just I was just t- I was just telling these guys about the 03 and newer that you put the K frame in. And. And Josh and I were talking about it on the back and forth a little bit on the trip back yesterday, and you know, it's something up around this area. Actually, I mean, we always talk about Ricky Englehart. I mean, he years and years ago when the old threes were kind of getting sniffed around, he was going to play around with putting that style K frame in 03 and newer, but back then you couldn't you know, you couldn't weld them in. You had to be bolted in. So, and then to fully see the way you guys had that one, and it definitely got my wheels rolling again. And Brian's going to run one here this year, so I told him he's not junking the K-frame. So,
yeah. No, I mean, and there's a couple ways you can do it. I mean, with the rules for this team show, we were a little open there with how we could do some things.
Yep.
So it was a very good opportunity to try this out. And, you know, and I'm not going to take full credit for this project because Chris Furster and Mike Henshaw had kicked it around. Chris had this there, and we talked about it. And,
mm-hmm.
I know that out East PA, there's a couple guys looking at doing it. But it was a good opportunity to see how it would fit up and work. And it worked really well, very easily. You could weld it in, or actually, if you want to take a little extra time, you can physically make it bolt into the frame as well.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
You know, hopefully some of the promoters will be a little more open to maybe letting that in outside of the regular cutting another Ford apart to build a Ford.
Right.
Just because of the time and, a lot of the stuff it takes to do that. I mean, it makes a very good car when you're done, but, you know, we're fortunate because out of our camp, you know, we can run Mopars, we can run GM power plants, so we're kind of ambidextrous there. So.
Right.
And our little 318s are very good little engines, and it worked well with that application. So.
Yeah.
And it was definitely a hard little sucker up front. Chance said he had a good time, and he's a little disappointed how it ended with, you know, being there in that spot he was. And
right.
He had every intention of taking it out there and ripping them wagons, you know, in pieces.
Yeah.
You know, to be continued, I guess.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. Very impressive. I mean, they're very, very nice, and definitely got my wheels turning.
How are things for Bad Habit these days? What's the season look like?
Looking pretty good. You know, some pretty exciting stuff coming up. They landed, our hometown bullring, the Great Stoneboro Fair.
Yep.
You guys have been there and seen that track.
A couple times.
You know, the Mecca Demolition Derby in Western PA. And they're going to be over Labor Day weekend, the Saturday-Sunday show. 2 days of destructions at Stoneboro Fairgrounds.
Very nice.
First time ever a team show at our Stoneboro Fair.
Very cool.
They introduced that. They've got some very exciting things new to introduce to the team show. One of the things, and anyone listening, you know, keep tuned into the Bad Habit Facebook page. They keep all the updates out there. They have this rule, or I guess it's when you pass inspection or tech for the team show guys. And this is what's unique. You know, everybody reads rules and you worry about what car should I build, you know, to show up. Well, maybe this time you're not worrying about night number one. Maybe you're going to worry about where your car is on night number two for the feature, because when you pass tech on the first night, you're going to be given a stick 1/4 inch by 4 inch wide by 4 foot long flat stock. And that's your fix-it plate material for the vehicle for the feature. So, you know, they're not telling you that you can only have a 2x2 or you can put it here or whatever. They're giving you a chunk of stock and saying, look, here's the material. The details will be laid out at the driver's meeting. That's all you're allowed to use on the car wherever you want it, and unlimited 9-wire for feature cars.
Quarter by four foot thick.
4 inch wide by 4 foot long. I guess you can cut it up in the
that's a lot.
4 inch or 1 foot by 4 inch or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
You know, and I don't know the details of, you know, I don't want to get anybody into trouble or make you know, trying to make judgments as far as bridging things or welding, you know. They're gonna cover the specifics of the driver's meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when it comes to the car choice for that show, you know, it's kind of like racing.
Yeah.
You know, if you're running a 400-lap race, it ain't about where you are the first 200, it's the last 20.
Yep.
So I guess it's going to be kind of a neat thing. The other thing that's on the table there is to help entice a lot of people from out of town to come compete. There's some work being done for about 5 or 6 host garages in the area within 5 to 10 minutes from the fairgrounds. So if somebody feels like they might, you know, it might be difficult to pack all your stuff up and come, there's going to be a list of host garages you can hook up with.
That's cool.
That's awesome. About
have use of a full garage as far as welders, torches, plasma cutters, et cetera.
Well, crazy. Ben. That's what awesome.
Think? What are you doing Labor Day weekend?
No doubt.
You know, and I'm not going to name names of those.
It only takes
torches
to do that thing.
But, you know, that's something that, you know, I did interject to them guys. You know, I said, if you can do one thing, I welcome the competition and I welcome the people to come from out of town because it gives the crowd a really good show. Mm-hmm. And it gives them the ability to see the, you know, the diversity and the builds and the geographic areas. So, you know, that was something that I thought would be very beneficial. You know, so somebody coming from outside of town didn't feel like they were at a disadvantage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they don't have to, literally don't have to pack up their whole shop.
Right.
You know.
And that's tough to do. I mean,
yeah, it is.
Anybody that's been in this sport, when you got to leave town and go somewhere else, you know, if you forget a screwdriver and you need it, you know how bad it hurts you. So,
well, I mean, you seen it yourself down there. JC Molly had like a 24 or 28 foot U-Haul truck, and we that took like 2.5-3 hours to pack that. Sure. He had everything you can imagine. He basically packed up 3/4 of his shop and put in the back of it. You know, and it was open for anybody to use if somebody, you know, lost something or forgot something or needed something.
That's correct. You know, that was open to us. And, you know, fortunately, you know, we come out of the heat and didn't need much attention other than a battery charger.
No. But,
you know, that's always nice. I mean, to have that option. And like I said, that goes back to them guys at the Southern Nationals being very hospitable. Mm-hmm. There wasn't one aspect of this derby down here where we didn't feel welcome. We didn't feel like we were, you know, a disadvantage. You know, we knew what we were getting into when we come down here, and we enjoyed all of it. Mm-hmm. And nothing I enjoyed more than opening up that 4-barrel on that 406 and sticking it to whoever I could give it to.
You got that right. That son of a bitch sounded awesome, too, I'm telling you.
So, I don't have to listen with the sound on and hear what the Mopar sounded
like. I tell you what.
Yeah, they sounded good.
It's badass.
Well, Casey, man,
congratulations. Yeah, I ain't even so sure it really broke a sweat. You know, I was pretty impressed. But, if it wouldn't have been for, you know, I was getting a little crowded at that one end. I had some guys kind of hovering around there. And you know, they were just kind of cutting off some of my routes. And JC and Joe Lombardi there, you know, he finally got a piece of that left front wheel and freakishly broke a bearing or something, and it wouldn't let it turn. And you know, what was really odd is if we were back home at any other track surface, that tire would have skidded around in the mud or the slick.
Yeah.
But that track, with that sand and clay mix, very unique. I can tell you, very unusual surface. Mm-hmm. And like you guys said, it rained there pretty much off and on all day.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really affect it much, but you know, it would pull some power out of the vehicle, and boy, if you were pushing it, you might as well have a snowplow on.
Right.
Well, Casey, man, appreciate you coming on the show and hang out for a little while. Keep us posted through the summer as things progress with Bad Habit and the schedule over there at Stoneboro and anything that might be coming up in the off season.
Oh, absolutely, and thanks for having us on, and, you know, thanks for you guys being there and, you know, getting Florida and its hospitality and its great environment out to everybody. And, you know, if you're looking for a vacation and a demolition derby all in one, I mean, this is the place to do it next February if they have it in February. I mean, there's everything from Disney to CSPT Beach to you name it down here.
Volusia.
Volusia.
Right?
Volusia.
Sounds good, man.
You bet, Casey.
Nice job.
Nice to meet you. Nice talking to you.
We'll see you.
See you later. There goes Casey Smith. Just wanted to make mention, May Mania coming up here right around the corner. That's right there around the corner. We've got, before that, though, next month, it's Just about a weekend from, it's about 4 weeks from right now, Capital City Carnage, March 17th and 18th, 2016, $10,000 to win for that one. We've got the driver's list almost set and finalized, and the new fully automated fantasy league will be released most likely next week. Everything
fully
is
automated.
Fully automated. You basically go to a location and you will be able to pick your team from a drop down. It automatically populates the fantasy scoring. So we should be good to go with that. 10,000 to win, limited world class, 9,000 for second, 8,000 for third. Wait 1 second. 7,000 for fourth, 6,000 for fifth, 5,000 for sixth, on down to 10th, $60,000 total payout, $5,000 Mad Dog Award, $200 to enter that. Email Candace for more details on that one. Candace at Ultimate Derby. There's Johnny Gullo, who's anxiously waiting to
Gumby's there somewhere.
Join us here. You think so?
Yeah, Gumby put a bounty on Johnny's head in Florida.
So,
yeah, but I did that years ago, and I won it. I did it out.
Johnny, with all the travel,
he's been trying to get even ever since.
It didn't work.
with all the travel that you've done since Halloween Havoc, I got to believe that Florida's been the best trip that you took, right?
Well, I tell you what, if I'd have known the beach was like that, we'd have stayed at least another week. And I think next year when we go, we are going to stay a week and hit Daytona NASCAR the next Sunday.
Yep.
I think that's
perfect.
The way to wrap up that trip.
Absolutely.
Yes. And get to Volusia, dodge some sprint cars, too.
Because they are going to continue to have it in that time frame.
8 weeks?
Yeah.
Why not?
I know. It's 35 degrees and raining here, so I want to go back.
It was sunny and 40 here today. It wasn't bad.
That's going to be 18 tonight.
That's all right.
You're getting wrapped up in the numbers, Ben.
It was 60 here Saturday.
They didn't get it wrapped up in no numbers. I didn't want to get the hell on that plane.
It was nice here over the weekend.
It was beautiful.
It was real
shirts
nice.
Shirts and a t-shirt.
Yep. I took the kids down to Radio Hill with me for
a little while.
Yep. And then they proceeded, while I was on the phone with those guys, they proceeded to run around outside in the mud, and we had to leave because they were so soaked.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Oh, yeah. Yep. He was flipping.
They were not the best listeners. And then I took Alan down to run in the RC Derby on Sunday, and he proceeded to stick his head out the door and throw up all over the sidewalk. So we got to bring him home again.
Nice.
That was fun.
But they
stole my sand, Josh.
You'll have to call Josh.
Brought home sand from that beach that was like flour.
Yeah.
And I had it in my bag, and they took it out.
Oh, man.
Now I got to take my wife all the way back.
Well, they probably thought it was some other type of white powder you're bringing back from Florida.
Either cocaine or napalm. Yeah.
But no, he's going to get to it, but you ought to hear the stuff that he told me, Johnny told me about the Utah shows.
Yeah, how's Utah coming together for this season?
Right, well, before we get there, I want to give a shout out and a thanks to JC Molly, John Cash, and everyone that put that on down there. I mean, for their inaugural event, it turned out really, really well. It was a lot of fun, good time. If you're freezing in February and you want to go do something next year, go have some fun.
It's a pretty good endorsement.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep.
And then next year, they lost a couple sponsors at the end, so the prize money dropped. So Stern Dirt's going to drop in $1,000 for them next year.
Perfect.
Very cool.
Like the sounds of that.
Absolutely.
Does that come with some sort of guarantee that you're not going to end up on the wall?
Well, you know, they built me and Troy a hell of a car, but with one brake, a stock rear end, and not a ton of power against them, those Casey's team, which were nasty cars. And he lined up on me, and I went for a ride because I had nothing.
Yep.
Did you mention anything about being up on the wall to Josh when you were sitting there? Did you mute the mic and just lean over and mention anything about the wall?
If you really want the truth of the matter, they told me to drive like Josh, so I did.
Oh, no.
Wow. Bingo. I was going to go there, but since Johnny did, I don't have
actually,
to.
Actually, Johnny busted Josh's balls on that.
Did he? Well,
yeah, a little bit earlier in the day. So that was pretty ironic.
That was turnabout, like that. Huh?
Yeah.
Karma.
Derby gods for listening.
Yep. Yep.
Well, did you have fun? You and Troy have a good time?
Oh, we had a riot. Like I said, had I known the landscape and what was around that area, I've never been to that side of Florida. We definitely would have made a longer weekend out of it.
On the topics of longer weekends, I've had a chance to peruse some of the schedules, and I'm liking the way things are looking for the Stern Dirt schedule in 2017.
Oh, absolutely. We got the news. I broke it last Saturday about our Wasatch County Derby, which is up in Heber. And we're going to pull off an $84,000 payout, of which $74,000 of it is for the actual main cars. Wow. And then we're going to do a $5,000 truck heat and a $5,000 to be determined heat, one and done.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty impressive.
And we still got some details to work out and stuff, but right now it's looking like 25 to win, half of that for second, half of that for third, half of that for fourth. Then everyone else in the main will get 1,000. Mm-hmm. On Friday night with the heats, we'll start a stopwatch when the heat starts, and at the 5-minute mark, we'll have some judges in the stand, and if they determine someone's mad dogging it, we will stop the heat, pay them $1,000, and tell them to pull their car out and go to the main event.
Wow.
That's awesome.
We've seen a couple other places awesome. Do this, and yeah. the fans
Bachelor
love
Cash
it.
Did yeah. it last year.
Well, so did Crossroads, Crossroads yeah. Destruction, and I anticipate they'll be doing the same thing again this year, is stopping it, and it gets drivers going.
Oh, yeah.
And it can get expensive quick in 5 minutes.
The whole problem is Utah guys don't need to get going. they're already when they drop the green flag, they're already going.
How do you go over the top again?
Yeah, they're already going 100, so yeah. this is just going to make them go 110.
That's awesome.
This is awesome. I mean, when Johnny was telling me this stuff, I mean, he's not even done yet, so I'm just going to shut up.
I like the bold letters in this right here says, if earned. You have to earn it.
Right.
What do you got
to
do?
No, so they know what they're getting into, and we hope to have all the details out. We want to open registration this Friday. I'm assuming I can get the website done and, you know, all the nuts and bolts put together for it.
Mm-hmm.
It will be 3 days. Thursday will be inspection, followed that night by dinner party with band and food, heat draws, driver's meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Friday, you get to enjoy Park City because it's a mixed Park City. Go do what you want. Hang out. We'll open the pits at 4 o'clock for the 7 o'clock show. And come, and they're one and done on Friday night. So kind of an easygoing deal. Saturday morning, we'll open the pits at 8. And you work on your car from 8 till 2 because it is July and it is a little warm. We'll shut the pits down and at 2 o'clock, reopen them. 4 o'clock, and then we'll finish off the night with the grudge matches, fillers, and main event, and a wipeout.
So what's this wipeout portion of the card all about?
So for those that are left, we're going to do an extra, if they want to throw $100 in, any of the cars that want to go out there, because a lot of these guys are coming from a far way, however many cars at $100, they can determine how they want to split that up. You know, winner take all for second. Mad Dog, don't really care. It's up to them to decide how they want to spend the money. And it's just a free-for-all.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
Most of Utah's a free-for-all. Pretty much like the entire time. Schedule is a free-for-all. Oh, cool. Man.
I don't know if you brought the list home. I did email it over to Chris this morning.
Yeah, I got the list somewhere in my bag yet. But good thing you emailed that to Chris.
Well, Jimmy Johnson was there, and I'm talking to him, and I'm going through, and he says, give me that list. I'm talking to the boys. So I think Jimmy's coming out.
Can you imagine? I was just going to say that. That was the first thing I thought of. Can you imagine if Jimmy is on the sidelines coaching the two gig boys out there?
That would be awesome.
Oh, Jimmy's going to run.
No, this isn't his driving style.
And if you're getting Facebook on the rules, it'll be May Mania rules with some tweaks.
Yeah,
it said it's said in here the 80s, the retro class rules. So that's
retro
sort of
class rules, right?
Throws back to the May Mania setup.
Which you classified those as what for the guys back east, so they know what they're building.
It's kind of a heavier limited weld, right?
Yeah, I mean it's that's kind of what it is.
We used to do it 10 years ago.
No, I mean, it's
that's what Utah used to be 10 years ago.
10 years ago.
Yeah. New York, I don't even know if we've got there yet.
No, I mean, it's definitely, I mean, it's for the amount of money, that's being paid out.
Oh, 80 cars.
Yes.
Yeah.
80 car limit.
Yeah, for the amount of money that's being paid out, it's not a time-consuming build. I mean, it's a build that anybody in around this area, you know, a month you'd be done painted and ready to rock and roll.
That's
and for the freaking amount of money that's getting put out, I mean, you're crazy not to. Yes, it's 38 hours, 36 hours, whatever.
That's all.
What is it from Buffalo, Johnny? What drive wise?
It was 36 hours straight through from Buffalo.
Okay, so 36.
We are 18 to Topeka. We were 22 or 21 to Bash for Cash.
Okay.
20 to Metal Mayhem back in the day when we went there.
Yep.
So that kind of you know, from where you are in the country, so, that kind of gauges you where you're at.
Yeah, so guys around this area, they pretty much know because they go to Bash for Cash, and tons of guys go to Bash for Cash here. So 22 hours from Bash for Cash, it's doable.
Absolutely.
Easily.
Exactly.
Easily doable.
You said 36 hours from Buffalo?
And you guys have been here. Anyone that's coming from that far, please, please stay a couple days and check out Utah.
Yep.
You know, park your stuff at my house. We'll lock it up, keep it safe, jump in your car, take your family, mm-hmm. go to West Yellowstone, see the Canyonlands. Too much to do here.
There's a lot. You got that right. There is tons of stuff to do there. I mean, every time we come out, we're like, yeah, we're going to stay longer next time. And it's just... Josh is talking about moving out there.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, his room's ready.
I can't wait for him to move out.
He hasn't heard what the rent payment is yet. But
there's three pages of Welder's Fabricators Wanted out there.
There you go.
I'm thinking about being like a snowbird. Instead of going to Florida, go to Utah.
In the winter?
Right.
Why not?
I don't know how many Utah derbies your back would take.
No, I'm not going to drive. I'll build cars.
Oh, well.
I think that's a perfect idea.
I'll build cars and Josh can drive them.
Once.
Actually, we could build cars, and then when Bolton flies back out again to drive another truck.
Run them out, man.
We can just start migrating guys out there. I could be like the home base.
Johnny's not going to tell you no.
No, I know he's not going to say no.
If you're waiting for Johnny to talk you out of it, it's not coming.
Because I'm telling you, we've said it before.
I'll start the housing apps right now.
Yeah. we've talked about it many, many times and keep saying it over and over again. I mean, Utah is the shit. Utah is the place to be.
Really, I mean, this really could work out great for Johnny if he plays his cards right, because you could build cars in the evening that would only run at his shows, and it would really solve some of the hiring issues that he's got at some of the Burger Kings.
Exactly. Exactly.
Could you imagine Josh asking if you want fries with that?
Free lunch and a shop to build in.
There you go. And Josh and I would work at the drive-thru at night.
That'd be terrific.
I don't know.
My speed of service would go to shit because Josh would talk too much to everybody.
Yeah.
No, he'd just get mad if somebody came in and said, no, I asked for a plain hamburger and you put everything on it.
No, you didn't, sir. I know exactly what you asked for, and this is what you're getting.
But no, in all seriousness, I mean, all the stuff that really hasn't been put out yet that he's still working on, I mean, it's just crazy. It's going to be crazy out there.
Well, after that, we roll into the All Truck Derby. That's $30,000, five to win, 250 just to show up at the gate.
Yeah, and how many trucks? Is that the one limited to?
Yeah, it's iron trucks. We'll get 14 to 20 iron trucks for that.
Yeah.
We do a farm class truck also, and we'll get 5-6 for that.
This is the one in September, right?
Yeah, this is the September 7th, I believe, is the date.
The West Jordan beatdown, September the 9th, the iron truck
the beat
class.
Beatdown, right?
Yeah, yep. 5,000 to win.
And then
serious money.
After that, the next one to announce, and we'll come back in a couple weeks, hopefully we got this one solidified, is the Utah State Fair. Brand new, state-of-the-art 10,000-seat stadium. It is going to be like the Golden Spike, but 10,000 seats versus 5,000. So if you've watched that, it's just crazy.
So wait a second. I'm looking through this one more time.
We put in for, I think it was $55,000 in prize money, 30 car limit. I'm sorry, Gumby says 36, but 30 car limit right now. And but we're actually going to have some fun with that one, because with $50,000, one way to look at it is give the 30 cars $1,000 each and take the $20,000 for first, second, and third, or make it a big payout. I'm kind of at the end of the year. We're thinking chain and bang. I mean, maybe your guys on the that are writing into you can give us some input on that. You know, because that's burnout stage, you know, September.
Yep.
We've already got people that are celebrating the payouts and the event structures that are messaging us so far. So I don't think you're gonna have to work too hard to get feedback.
No.
We'll relay everything that we get in terms of how they want the money dispersed.
No, they're definitely. I mean, I feel the fields will be full.
Oh yeah.
Just looking at this. Just looking at this real quick. If I'm reading this right, we're gonna be. Is the story that we're going out there for these?
But the three for sure. May, Wasatch, and Havoc.
Yeah. Okay.
And depending on what our budget comes in at the state fair and what your schedule is, we'd love to have you back for that one. So
do you have a date on the state fair yet?
State fair date is the 7 days after.
Okay.
So that'd be the 14th.
Yeah.
September 14th.
Okay.
Whatever that Saturday is, second Saturday.
Okay.
14th of what?
Just, you know what? Never mind Josh's room. I'm just going to take that on a couple weeks at a time basis. What the heck? I mean, we might better just do all of them.
Well, I have the beer brewed, the moonshine ready, and your bed ready, Josh. So whenever you want.
Josh isn't here.
Tell your wife you're not going to see her for 2 months. And
The one problem that we've got tonight is that you're talking to Chris and Josh isn't here.
Oh, I thought Josh was there. I apologize. No.
Yeah, that's okay. I get that a lot.
Yeah, I saw firsthand Minnesota.
I can never hear that well on this.
So. I know. It's the high tech. It's the high tech sticking a phone and a headset next to a microphone rig.
Yes, sir.
Well, and then after that one, we finish off with Halloween Havoc, which everybody knows about. So
yes,
right.
We might be moving that to the new stadium also. So find out. But that one, that's just a crazy show. That's just a party. Yep. You were there.
Yes, I can't wait. Can't wait to get back there. I'm looking forward to return trips to Utah periodically through the summer. It's going to be an awesome time. Certainly looking forward to that. And with the announcements now, everybody out here is just going to be looking more and more towards that. And I know Dano is going to be already salivating at the chance of getting out there a couple times.
You're just going to have to leave a 30-gallon drum of sunscreen at Gullo's house.
Yeah. Just a swimming pool, just jump in and
fine. When in Rome, do as the Romans.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
When do we want to talk about, and maybe we can get some feedback on the keeping the hitting hard and the bagging down, what we talked about?
We can work into more of that stuff. It was functional last time in terms of working with Facebook and making drivers polls, which was cool. It worked. What we need to do, though, is get people to A, stop voting ahead of time, because if the heat's not on the track yet, you probably can't vote for them.
Yeah.
And B, the second part of that is stop adding names to the list, because if Josh Decker wasn't on the track, there's no need to vote for him as a heavy hitter.
Yeah, we were laughing about that, because it was people were voting for, like, the heat's like two heats from now. Mm-hmm. They're voting for the people already, and it's like, well, they haven't even hit the track yet.
What we did is we made events. We worked with Sterndert, and we made events, and we made polls on the pages to where people could vote for heavy hitters. Well, after the heat was over with, we had a combination of votes that we would wait a small period of time. Once the heat was over with, everybody generally had voted by then. So we had voted at that point, and it worked. It was a way to get the people interacting with us and stuff. And I think what we might do is we want to make the event through Crash Course, so that we can use that to sort of drive all together, and use that to weigh in with the fan voting. And we would, if you noticed, Ben doing a lot of talking for a small period of time and me doing a lot of clicking, it's because I was busy entering all the names in, and I was trying to stay ahead as best I could, and I made the error of putting some of the lists out ahead of time. which let people go vote prematurely before anything happened.
Oh yeah,
which was funny because we had a guy that had like a 6-point lead, and then his heat was still 2 rounds away.
Yeah,
yeah. I like that. Although, that's why we had you guys having a second vote, and then the arena officials had a third vote. So we, you know, we kind of did a majority of the 3-1.
Right. It was cool, and it generated a lot of interaction. But then, what we never thought about was having to lock the poll after the fact, because then 3 days later, somebody had 34 more votes than anybody else, and everything was over with. It's like, well, they should have won Mad Dog. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, that's not how it worked, because once the next heat started, that voting
that
pretty much ended.
Done. Yeah,
it's But it was a lot of fun. The interaction, the conversation was great. The arguments, could have lived without them, but it was entertaining nonetheless.
Yeah,
that's funny.
I don't remember. There was a group. We were loaded into a group conversation. It was me. And I think you were in it on Facebook, and Josh were all put into the same group message about how dumb we were regarding the fan vote, because it was like the first heat of the night, and we had everything done. It was like 9 heats later, and a bunch of guys had gotten more votes. It's like, that's already over. There's nothing more to go back to. But I liked it. It was definitely a new element to it that we hadn't tried anyplace else. And it certainly drove that fan interaction part, like you were asking, Johnny.
Cool.
Right. Which is cool. I mean, it's kind of like a fantasy thing, but you get to participate.
Right. Yes, you get to control some destiny for some of those guys that are out there on the track. You know, whether they're in their cars, in the pits, in the stands, or in the emergency room.
That's funny.
Yeah. But so you're going to catch up with us here in a couple weeks. Be back to talk a little bit more about some of the other stuff as it comes together.
Yeah. Look for have everyone get on Stern Dirt Racing Facebook, and we'll get everything posted. Like I said, hopefully by the end of the week. As you know, I've got my restaurant that's grand opening again, 20-year anniversary next week. So I'm kind of asses and elbows this week. So my plan is to have that ready to go Friday for registration.
Okay.
We may have more details to come, or we may change a few things. You know, making it better, not taking away.
Right.
But the one thing we talked about on that, because the one thing is all the money's going to bring the backers. All right, we get that, we understand that. So, like me and Ben and Josh were talking, and Flores says, "What if you took that?" And this is where guys can comment back in.
Yeah. Okay.
After 20 minutes of the heat, $25,000, and remember the Mad Dog's making $5,000 in this heat.
Right.
If at 20 minutes, they're just start doing the you know, running for the money. You take $1,000 off the 24, put it on the Mad Dog. 2 minutes later, take another $1,000 off, put it on the Mad Dog, and that Mad Dog's just going to keep increasing.
And first place goes down. you think that'll make them step on the throttle a little bit more, Chris?
Wow.
I think so. I think after 21 minutes, it'll be over by...
You know, and it won't be Josh, but if it was Josh and he won Mad Dog and he only lasted 5 minutes, his money's going up.
Hell yeah.
Doing nothing.
And he ain't even driving.
Hell yeah. Right. He's out there telling them guys, slow down, take it easy, take your time.
He probably ran out there and pulled their flags on him or something.
So he said, Ben started to say something about 21-minute mark. It's like, at the 21-minute mark at the feature, we're going to be tearing down the podcast rig.
No doubt.
No, what I'm saying is it's 100% right. I mean, that is the awesome idea, because we've said it many, many, many times. You could drive this way in this region, you could drive this way at this region, but the expectations are in the expectation in driving style that's expected at this show is not something that's at a marathon pace. You're expected for this amount of money. The fans are looking for a show.
Performance-based contract.
They're not. Yeah,
you are paid to perform.
They're on a they're on a performance development program.
Absolutely.
I don't think that's exactly what.
but what I'm saying. Long story short.
So this back to you guys. I'm asking the drivers for input.
Right.
Feed it back to you guys, and I'll call you guys on another day and see what they responded to you, or they can PM me directly, and we'll just go from there. But, yeah, we're tons excited. We should know by the end of this week on that other show. We're thinking stock build also for that 30-car count, $50,000 thing. So, but Heber's going to be real exciting.
Yeah.
We'll be in touch with more after you get through this week. I know you're wrapped up with that stuff, but I'll get a hold of you once we get to the end of the month, early part of March.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Johnny.
See
you. Get to you soon.
Stay warm. Talk to you later.
Yep.
Take it easy.
It was Johnny Gullo.
Holy cow.
But
there's some news, huh?
I was hoping he was going to come up with that because when we were talking about it down there. I'm like, yes, that's the best idea in the world. Mm-hmm. Because I tell you what, it doesn't take long for people to start doing the math and saying, okay, at 20 minutes, if this is not over, you better put your foot down.
Absolutely.
Or you're going to start clicking off thousands every minute. And I tell you what, them minutes then are going to go real fast.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
And just, I cannot get over it. But 10,000 seats. A 10,000 seat arena.
That's huge.
That is going to be full.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's... But there's other. I'll tell you guys afterwards the other stuff he was telling me. You know, but man, it's.
Did you guys see the pictures on Facebook from the remote controlled drone at Winter Slam? Did you see the pictures of all the people?
They actually had a drone. There's an actual production company that works, an advertising production company that works with the fairgrounds there. And does a lot of other events. They actually had a drone up and were flying around and got some cool footage and stuff.
Yeah,
they're gonna use for marketing, for advertising, for the next one.
Yeah, that's what Randy was doing with his. It was, but they put up some of the pictures and to see from above, the amount of people that were there, that was amazing.
There we go. We got Jim Olin joining us right now to come on and talk a little bit about Finger Lakes Speed World, which is coming up on March 4th and 5th. Move-in night is March the 3rd. Small doors open at 2 o'clock for tables and small displays, and at 6 o'clock for all the cars. And this is an all walks of motorsports interactive, almost a trade show, so to say, if you will, at the Finger Lakes Mall in Auburn right there on 5 and 20. And all walks of motorsports are welcome. And in that same vein, last year we had Josh Decker's Rosa car on display in the former Joanne Fabrics building. And this year, Jamie Brown going to be bringing a car in addition to a number of other drivers talking about bringing combative motorsports entries out there. Jim, man, how are you?
Oh, I am excellent. How are you doing?
We're doing okay. We're getting through this one. Episode number 169 going to be wrapping up here in just a little bit, but wanted to catch up with Jim a little bit. And first of all, just say thank you to Jim and Finger Lakes Speed World because they've made this thing all inclusive. It's not just for dirt modifieds. It's not just for race cars. Even there's bikes, there's microds, there's snowmobiles, there's everything.
I don't know about snowmobiles. We haven't heard any of those yet.
I'd love to have one. Well, Jim, just hold tight till a couple weeks. It might have been a little premature with that, but nonetheless, you guys have got all sorts of stuff going on over there.
Yeah. It's we've done everything from basically the ground up, and starting out with last year bringing the RC Derby there, and that was a huge success last year. That drew quite a crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And having the Rosa car in there, that was great. So many people ask me about that. You know, they walk right by a nice, shiny, brand-new Sportsman Modified and go up there to see a wrecked Demolition Derby car. That cracks me up. But I'll tell you what, you know where the fans are.
Right.
And so there's that. You're going to be sharing your space again this year with the guys that do Dale Darling does the Power Wheels racing. We're trying to make that a bigger event this year because, I'll tell you, it gets the kids out there, it gets them excited, gives them something to do. And because it's a free show, we encourage people, bring the families, bring the kids out. We got stuff for them to do. It's gonna be a good time. It's gonna be a good weekend.
It's gonna be an awesome time. Alan's got a fresh car built. He didn't get a chance to run it this weekend, so he's got a fresh Buffalo Bills themed car. Now I got a couple weeks before we got to run it, so if you'll get some wraps done for him. No, probably cheated. Yes, I almost won this weekend. I had a shot.
I saw that. Oh, second place. Was there only two cars in the Derby or what?
No, there was five.
Wow.
There was
five that's in still there. Not bad.
It's not bad. Jerry and James Brown, it came down to those two and me, and I was having some trouble steering my car. I did some updates on the car, and it reversed the steering, and I never thought to do anything with it until I got out there, and every time I turned to go right, it would go the other way, and I was driving in the wall and stuff, and I went to Jamie Brown burned a transmission. Transmission wouldn't move anymore, or the battery died. He couldn't really figure out what it was, and it was me and his brother. And his brother's won the last two. So I took a swing at him, and I drove right up on the back of a dead car and got hung. And he came, and he tapped my back bumper just about like that. and then you backed away and let the time run out. But it was cool. The changes helped a lot. I'm looking forward to getting Albemarle.
That's cool.
And running out there. It's gonna
be like your hometown show, wouldn't it?
Yeah, pretty close. Pretty close. It's about the best it's gonna get. I spent a lot of time in Dundee though.
Yeah, you have spent some time in Dundee.
Home away from home.
It's nice having an empty mall at your disposal. As long as they keep it open, we're gonna keep doing it too. Yeah, and it's probably a little different with you guys running on the linoleum for the Derby, too.
It's probably a little different for the grounds crew having to clean rubber off the linoleum.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the guy who had to clean the rubber off the floor last year. Anyways. it's going to be big. I was out there today putting up posters and handing out flyers, and I put some flyers out on the little kiosks out there, and got a lot of confirmations from people who are actually coming out, and I got a referral from you from the folks from South Butler Drags. They will be there.
That's awesome. They're going to bring some cars, too?
They're going to bring out a table. And they were unaware that they could bring cars out. They thought that they weren't sure if they could bring cars out. And I said, absolutely. She said, how much? I said, nothing, zero, nada. Just bring your cars out. Yeah. Set them up.
Doesn't cost anything to display, and you don't maybe necessarily have to pre-register. If you show up there with a car on
we'll find a spot for
Friday
you.
At 6 o'clock, they will find some place to put it. Zach Herman was talking about bringing the car that he ran at Walton last year. It still has a broken motor mount in it, so the motor's all skied over sideways. He was talking about bringing that, but then I saw this weekend he was working on Derby cars, so it makes me nervous if he's gonna make it over or not. So we'll have to see.
This was probably a month or two ago. We were over at Bass Pro, and then we were going to get something to eat, and we were walking through. And I remember when my brother was first started driving for Bill Trout, we took a small block car over there, and they had a race car show, and we put it in the mall, and explained to the kids that, you know, we pushed, they're like, no, you can't bring race cars here. And I'm like, look, buddy, we brought race cars in here. So we may stop over and check stuff out depending on what my work schedule was that weekend and stuff. And just, you know, go over and walk through. Cause I just,
we'll tell you that pushing cars through the mall is over with. We got some help from our buddy Frankie Dahl that works over at Bass Pro. They sell the Bad Boy buggies over there, and they have volunteered some of their equipment over there. They said it's good for them because they have to exercise them, otherwise the batteries go dead and they don't come back. So they're going to have some buggies charged up waiting at the door, and all you got to do is drop your harness on there, and they will drag you in and put you wherever you got to go.
Nice.
So, back in the olden days, they hadn't invented those yet. So
what's that?
Back in the olden days, they hadn't invented those Bad Boy buggies yet, so it was
the only thing that ran on batteries was power wheels.
Yeah, it was it was human horsepower pushing those cars around in there then. So that wasn't.
Well,
quite
they did
easy.
It last year too, and they, everybody pushed their cars in, and you know, you got a car most modified and everything like that. Unless they pull the axles out of them, they don't turn.
No.
Inside, especially on the carpet, and so they one of the buggies came down last year, and they dragged a couple of cars out, and I said, geez, that's a great idea. So I knew who to talk to this year. And we've also got a lot of spots available with power this year. They fixed the there's a power grid that runs up the center of the floor of the mall, and more than half of it was dead, and they decided to get it all working again. So now we have, I think there's 17 or 18 different spots in the center part of the common hallway that have power. So that's big perfect. Thing for us guys that want to light up their displays. Cool. And bring videos and stuff like that. So, plus, nice. Gives you a pretty good spot to do a podcast. You know, you don't have to run off batteries or solar or whatever.
No, we're not running off solar. I don't know who lied to you. We're not there yet. I'd love to, but that's not the case. We're still tied down. There's a number of special events being held in conjunction with Finger Lakes Speed World at Albemarle, 4th and 5th. March the 3rd is off-road racing at Small Addictions RC. That starts at 6:30. That's just after move-in commences. So if you're looking for something to do while you're waiting for your turn to get pulled in by one of those Bad Boy buggies, you can check out Small Addictions. Saturday, March 4th is a very, very busy day. Opening at 8 a.m., racing to follow at 11 a.m. is the Creekside Entertainment 150 at Small Addictions RC. It's a Mudboss RC race, part of the Mudboss mini-series. Stock and modified Mudboss, along with open SCT late models, $20 entry. Second class is $15 at Small Addictions in Finger Lakes Mall. Small Addictions helped out a ton in terms of getting the show up and on its feet, so we're in debt to them. 31st Lap Podcast is going to go live at noon. It's going to be outside Small Addictions, so hopefully we can direct a camera inside and we can see the racing that's going on. And then Final Round Podcast with the Western New York Super Rod Association is going to go live at 2 o'clock. Turn 5 Podcast with Stephen Ovens is going to be live through the afternoon as well. And then Sunday, March the 5th at 11 a.m., Crash Course Podcast is going to be live in the Joanne Fabric storefront. And then at 3 o'clock, the RC Demolition Derby is going to go off, and there's going to be three divisions there. Modified, which is the national rules, then the stock class, which are the paper cups, and Ed Brewster is unveiling a demo run for the truck division, which are basically El Caminos, and he has backing from Steel Horse Harley-Davidson with some really, really cool announcements. Connect the dots however you will. Some really cool announcements pertaining to Steel Horse Harley out of Midlothian, Virginia, regarding some RC action coming up later on this year. Jim, it's I can't believe the feedback for the show, and you've got to focus on a focus on photography, right?
Focus on racing this year. Yeah, that's been a big thing. We haven't gotten as many photographers as I thought we were going to get, but I'm going to tell you, the quality of the work that's going to be there will be ridiculous. You have some of the best names in racing photography will be there. John Malloling, who we've met at our creative meetings.
Yep.
Has made some really good contacts. He's got some really, really good work. Of course, your dad will be there. Mm-hmm. With Mike Scataglia from Paradise Speedway. Taylor Moran will be there from Taylor Moran Photography. And we've had a few other, throw their hat in the ring, but no confirmations yet.
Right. Woodhull Raceway at this point has agreed to be on board. Oswego Speedway, correct? Not Oswego. Can-Am Motorsports Park is going to be involved.
Can-Am, no. I can tell you that Oswego, we have not heard back from. Paradise, Starlight, Outlaw Speedway will be there. Have not heard back from Canandaigua yet, which I was kind of disappointed there because it's right in their kitchen. Rolling Wheels, who knows what's going on there, and still waiting to hear back from Weedsport.
What about some of the tours?
We do have a confirmation. It's in really, really, really good pencil from the SRP, or not the SRP, I'm sorry, the Patriot Sprint Tour.
Uh-huh.
The SRP's backed out. Darrell Ruggles will have his car on hand. He does run part of the Patriot, I do believe, and part of the ESS Tour.
Right.
But he's actually going to be there with Outlaw Speedway.
Awesome. Outlaw Speedway going to be present as well.
Yep.
Very good. Anything else that we got to know about? Anything else we got to know about this one? You can jump online and find Finger Lake Speed World. It's facebook.com/Finger Lake Speed World, all one word. And you can jump on there. You can send any messages or inquiries. By all means, if you've got a car around that's in pieces. Last year, I remember watching a bunch of guys attempt to push a 1968 Newport with a front bumper shoved around the wheels uphill to get out of there before the bad boy buggy came to the rescue.
Yeah.
But
I will tell you, for our exhibitors that are coming in on Friday night at 8 o'clock, there will be a meeting at a spot yet to be determined in the mall. We're trying to figure out our home base situation because I'm going to be there with my girlfriend and my then 4-month-old daughter. She will be, we need a spot for the pack and play and all that good stuff because it's a family thing. As soon as I figure that out, we'll have a meeting. I'm ordering pizza and beverages and everything from the places in the mall. There's a pizza shop right there. I believe it's JJ's Pizza or J&J's Pizza.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to hook us up with a deal. So everybody gets fed Friday night. All the exhibitors, come on in and grab yourself a bite to eat and, good stuff. Good stuff.
Perfect. Yeah. That sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Well, I will. I'll be catching up with you here in about a week or so. And if anything else comes up, let me know. We'll get some more stuff out there, and we'll talk to you next, not this coming Thursday, but a week from Thursday on Final Round. We'll talk a little bit about the show with the drag racing core.
You got it.
Thanks a lot, Jim. We'll catch up with you soon.
Cool, Chris. Take care, man.
See you later. There goes Jim Olin with Finger Lake Speed World. Open to anybody. If you got something left over, bring it over. They'll find a way to drag it in. Hmm. But make sure you have some tarp. Or some plastic put underneath it, because they frown on it when you drip oil and other liquids out of derby cars all over the floor.
Mm-hmm.
They do frown on it.
Get grumpy with that, huh?
They got grumpy with that, and they also don't like having it. They said the only way that we could have the derby back is if we stuck around to help them clean the floor.
So you can help clean the floor?
Yeah, I'll find somebody to help.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna take the Josh Decker method. Sit in a chair and direct others.
That's exactly what you should do.
Delegate.
Terrible.
Smash It Demolition Derby, the Bash for Cash coming up just around the corner. Chillicothe, Ohio is the location of that one, Ross County Fairgrounds, on the 26th, 27th, and 28th online, smashitderby.com. A bunch of our friends of the show have been listed as the approved vendors for 2017, among them Big Rock Derby Products, Catskill Fabrication, Near It Sliders, Derby Tees, DEC Headers, CIDS, Destroy Demo Puck, Lead Sled Wheels, Ski Ink, Joker's Parts, Scott Derby Tire. Looking forward to getting out there and seeing those guys as part of what is turning out to be a very, very busy springtime for Crash Course Derby podcast, and also coming up around the corner, which is, I know it seems like it's a long ways away, but it's not. May 5th and 6th, Crossroads of Destruction is also looming large on the schedule, along with Mandan, North Dakota, with the Team Derby. That one also, that's in June, is going to be here before you know it. Once we start getting on and off planes every other weekend, it's going to fly by like nothing.
Yeah, that's why Josh and I were discussing that we need to look into TSA pre-check.
Yeah.
We have to look into
that. We've definitely had that talk before as well.
Yeah. And
did you get your hands swabbed again this time, or you've been pretty good?
No, it's pretty good.
No swabs?
It's pretty good, yeah. Yeah. That's good. No big delays. But real quick, before we go,
Is this about the flying first class thing? Because Josh messaged me about that all weekend.
I don't give a flying shit about first class. I'm happy where we're at. If we fly Southwest, you just bang it 24 hours ahead of time. As long as you get early B seating, A's kind of, you got to pay $14, I think, to get an A class.
Pass.
But everything worked out good. But just real quick, I wanted to give say super huge thanks you to JC Molly and Johnny Cash and Steve Saopa, and Todd wasn't able to make it, but Steve, JC Molly came and picked us up from the airport and drove us back to the airport. Just awesome time. We got to hang out at his shop. Steve, can't thank him enough for letting us stay at his house and basically getting chauffeured in Escalade. Made my daughter very jealous because I was in an Escalade. But and got to hang out with Steve and Mark and Joey, little Joey. I mean, he's we had a good time with Joey and his cousin Mark, and thoughts go out to Mark and his family. And Todd, he was battling an illness, I think, but I was making jokes. He was probably jumping out of his recliner, screaming at the TV when it came down to Mark at the end, you know. Mm-hmm. But can't thank them guys enough for being open in their arms and opening their homes and letting us be part of it. And just wanted to say thank you.
We also got to make comment that this was the first time that Ben and Josh were on their own, you know, and they nailed it.
Hey,
absolutely nailed it. What's that?
You guys were on your own before. You guys did Caledonia.
Yes and no. I mean, you were kind of...
We were unsupervised this trip.
Yeah, we were completely unsupervised.
We were fully unsupervised, and we were like teenagers going to a frat party when Dad Chris was home chomping at the bit. So, but
Chris was a little anxious, I'm sure.
We felt we did pretty well.
Absolutely.
You know, we didn't go to full extent. I kept joking with Josh on the way out that we're going to basically send Chris a message and say we have no cell service at this event, so we won't be able to contact him till we get back to Steve's, you know, after the event. But we joked a little bit about
I'd be able to see right through that though.
We said we better not do that because Chris will empty every liquor bottle in his house.
It's completely transparent because Josh spent all weekend posting stuff on his fan page. If you don't have cell service, you're not posting anything.
It's a track. We're saying it's a track. Oh, it's a track. That's right. 2 hours. That was 2 hours away from when we were doing it.
If you hit go live and that test worked the way that it did, and then you told me there was no cell service, I would like to know what natural disaster just before Florida.
Because
it was a great signal. If I was,
it was hardline. I mean, they actually that was another thing with that facility, Hernando County Fairgrounds. I like that. It kind of rings. But they basically asked JC what he needed, and he said, you know, they had some technical term for it, but basically there was a router we plugged into. It was pretty much hardline. We didn't have
did
to worry
it rhyme
about
with
it.
Dedicated T1?
What's that?
Did it rhyme with dedicated T1?
Basically, they installed one.
Yes.
And then they came back, and the two older gentlemen he's the oldest tech guy that I've ever seen. And he's like the coolest grandpa in the world, must be. But he knew everything there was about all this technical stuff and what lines to run. And he said, I got here, and I was like, whoa, this isn't going to be enough. So I made a phone call, got it authorized, and some 10.8-6.50 paragraph C, section 5, router basically went in that said, you're good now. So that's all that matters.
Sounds great to me.
Have you got your equipment back in your possession so you can fondle it, kiss it, hug it?
It's on the truck.
Tell how much you missed it?
Yep.
It's out there. I have full faith.
We discount double checked it.
Nice.
They went through it, and we had a great meeting. Final round podcast did, anyway. We can follow up with that on in 2 Thursdays from where we are right now. That is going to lead us to hopefully some definite steps forward versus the how did that guy describe them? The piles of junk that we work with.
No, he didn't say junk.
Josh told me what he said, but Josh always filters everything, so I don't know.
Yeah, he ad-libbed a little bit. But he pretty much, he gave us kudos for putting the equipment through.
Oh, it was positive.
Putting equipment through situations that it's not designed for, period. But
like torrential downpours?
Right. That guy is 100%.
Probably sounded great.
It's kind of, I don't know. It's kind of like fabricators, derby guys. Derby fabricators, true fabricators, talking to like a Nassau machinist kind of type deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of that difference. This guy was 100% like runs his own production company, in-house.
Him and Chris could have had a nice
TV station, everything else, and he's used to everything in a controlled environment, dust-free. Definitely rain free, mud free for sure.
Go on.
Environment.
What's that? I didn't know that there was such a thing.
But you know, but no, he was definitely, like I said, at the end of the conversation, everybody had a good time. We were laughing, and he gave us the big thumbs up of, you know, you guys do a hell of a job for what you do, and
that's cool.
Nothing negative came out of it.
Good, good.
So
well, that's awesome. Well, we've done a solid hour and 15 minutes. What do you think? Can this one regroup next weekend?
Absolutely.
Next week. Oh, wait.
Yes.
I also got told.
Uh-oh.
Also got told that another, basically, goal was accomplished. I did my first live stream.
No swearing.
With absolutely no swearing.
What?
Christy Germain sent Josh a message afterward and said, Ben did that whole show without swearing once.
Congratulations.
Huh.
So look at that.
Look at that.
Florida brings out the best in
you. That's the second accomplishment.
You can put that one on air. You can put that one on TV.
That was a daily double.
Absolutely.
Right there. That was a daily double.
So
I don't know what a trifecta is going to be, but the daily, we're taking little steps, baby steps.
You got to grow incrementally, one at a time. So basically, what we can infer from this, and go on.
The trifecta will be Capital City Carnage.
Yeah.
Without swearing.
Mm-hmm.
We're live. We'll be on pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll run a car.
That will be a trifecta.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it, though.
You're not going to pull that one off.
No.
Don't take it wrong. But
no. Especially if we have a 360 GoPro in a car that can hear things.
Yeah,
that's not going to happen because I swear to everybody on the track.
The catalyst, of course, as we just found, is that Ben was able to go to Florida with Josh and accomplish this and not swear, and I wasn't there. So I raise Ben's blood pressure. When he comes here, I make him swear.
It's on you, Chris.
I'll accept it.
People like it when you swear.
Well, I get carried away sometimes.
That happens. I've lived it. Oh, well. So we've already got some stuff planned for next week. I guess Chance is going to come on next weekend. Let me make sure that I found that and followed up on that message correctly.
Are you going to have the helicopter to bring Mr. Ducker next week, or is he going to be gone for a while?
Chance is coming on to talk about what it's like to be a young guy in the sport after he had some interaction with Jimmy Johnson down in Florida. So that'll be cool. Josh was in New Jersey today, so yeah. he couldn't make it.
Oh, doing a little work?
That's the story he keeps telling. But that's going to do it for this one. Number 169 in the books. That's going to wrap up Crash Course coming to you from the FingerLakes1.com studios. We'll be back here again next week. We'll be talking with Chance Smith and who knows what else we'll have waiting in the wings. We'll see everybody next time. Thanks a lot.
The Crash Course Podcast is brought to you in part by DerbyParts.com. The 2015 Wadena Grand Slam, Bolt Lockwood Motorsports, and the 2015 Keystone National. Sciopa Racing and SciopaRacing.com. Ultimate Derby and Blizzard Bash 2015. Demo Derby Master. Reckless Abandon Derby apparel at recklessabandongear.com. And Derby Ink Magazine. Live it, breathe it, be it, Derby Ink. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York.